JBL's Emerging Headliner Podcast, powered by Headliner Radio. Today's podcast guest is Nashville-based alt-pop sensation Caroline Romano, who has followed up her debut album and subsequent EP with recent singles Girl in a China Shop, Tell Her I Said Hi, and most recently Used By You, by detailing the highs and lows of young adulthood with her unflinchingly honest songwriting. Caroline has captured the hearts of fans and tastemakers alike. Let's get to know this exciting up-and-coming artist today. Okay, so welcome on, Caroline. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
You're so welcome. Thanks so much for joining. So if we just start with, so you're based in Nashville, aren't you? So is that where you're from, or have you moved there? Like, whereabouts are you now?
Yeah, I live in Nashville currently, but I was born and raised in Mississippi, like 6 hours south of Nashville. But I came here for the first time when I was 13. I asked my parents to take me up here to play like open mic nights, and I just fell in love with it. So I've been coming ever since, and I moved here by myself when I was 17. So about 4 years ago now.
Wow. So you're really independent and motivated then. 13 for open mic nights as well. Brave. Very brave.
It was definitely like, I look back and I'm like, it's kind of strange my parents let me do that, because I was playing like college bars and yeah. I was like 13, but it's awesome. It was cool.
Oh, wow. And have you gone there basically to, you know, everything to do with music? Is that the reason for the move to Nashville when you were 17?
Yeah, just to for the songwriting community here is definitely flourished in like the pop and rock sphere as well. And just to be around creative people.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know a lot of people hear Nashville and they'll really associate it with country. But of course, there's a lot of other artists and different genre of artists there, aren't there? Because I've spoken to a lot of, let's just say, not country artists, the easiest way to say it. You've said it's kind of almost easier to carve out a name for yourself if you don't do country, because obviously there's so much country there, isn't there?
Absolutely, absolutely. Like when I first started coming here, it was like still very, very country. But like I have so many friends who have really broken out in like the pop and rock space. And because it's smaller here, but growing, like it's a great time to be an artist in a genre other than country in Nashville, for sure.
Mm. And did you not see any opportunities for making a music at home?
I mean, I just never felt like there's really no musical community down there. And I feel like if you kind of come in the industry for at least a few years, you kind of figure out you mostly need to be in LA, Nashville, or you know, New York maybe, but also like if you're on the artist side of things. But I mean, there are a lot of producers just coming out of their houses now, like just wherever you can be. So I don't know, Mississippi just never felt like home to me, and it never felt like where I needed to be.
Mm. Yeah, that makes sense. Absolutely. Okay, so before we get into your new music, just so we can learn a bit more about you and our listeners and our readers can. So I'd like to hear a little bit about your early influences, you know, like what inspired you to become the artist you are today? What was the first, I don't know, band or singer or songwriter that you got fixated on when you were younger?
Yeah, I was definitely one of the Taylor Swift early, like, I'm obsessed. Like I grew up with her, you know, like she was putting her first records out when I was literally like 6 years old. And I remember six or seven. And I remember listening to those and just being like, oh my God, this makes so much sense. This makes life make sense to me. So I definitely fell in love with her storytelling and relatability at a very early age. And then I'd say in middle school, when I really started to write my own music, I was very influenced by 21 Pilots. I was kind of an emo kid. So I loved like My Chemical Romance, and then 5 Seconds of Summer was very inspirational to me as well. Mm-hmm. But then my parents would play like Bryan Adams or Shania Twain in the car. So I'd say there's a healthy mix of things that I listened to growing up.
And are you still a fan of Taylor Swift now? Did you catch the tour?
I did not catch the Eras tour. I've been to 1989 and Reputation and Red, but I didn't go to the Eras. It was a little out of my price point, but right. I'm still such a huge fan of Taylor Swift. And I mean, I think she's one of the most brilliant songwriters there's ever been. So I am definitely still a fan.
Mm-hmm. And are you into any music that might surprise people? Like, you know, anything that's totally different to the kind of music you make now, or maybe even a guilty pleasure or something?
I feel like people will probably, I reference Breakins a lot. He's like a very production-based hyper-pop artist. And mm-hmm. I feel like people are often surprised about that. And I mean, sometimes I listen to a little screamo stuff. I just put on like a playlist, but like Paris and different like screamo artists, I think, are really cool right now.
Okay. And when it comes to your songwriting, when did you first start writing songs? Did you say it was middle school?
It was about middle school. I'd started like writing journals, like about my days at school, because I was a nerd. And
love that.
And I was learning guitar around that time, and I started just, you know, knowing I wanted to write songs, and I put my journal entries kind of to little chords I learned on guitar, and I really just fell in love with that. It became very cathartic for me. So about 12 or 13 is when I really started writing music seriously.
And how do you kind of get over the fact that you're kind of putting your journal entries into a song that people might hear? Because obviously diaries or journals are, you know, notoriously quite private. How do you get over that?
I feel like one of my biggest problems is that I'm such an oversharer. Like, I really should have more of a filter on the things I probably let out about myself. But that's always been something that's come very naturally to me in that sphere of things. And also, I mean, as a listener, my favorite music has always been the songs that are so raw and like so almost shocking to hear someone would like admit that about themselves. So I kind of come at it from that perspective of like, I know I'd want to hear someone else say this. So I feel more understood. So I try to rationalize it like that at times.
Okay. And do you remember a specific song of any artist where you've thought, wow, almost, I can't believe they've shared that. They're really well known and they're kind of letting us know that this has happened to them. Can you remember any specific song like that?
Gosh, there's a few. I mean, I remember hearing Doubt by 21 Pilots or even Migraine by them, and just thoughts that I'd never heard articulated, like, I'm at least as a younger adolescent, like, I'd never heard someone admit these feelings of like doubt they had about their faith or like their mental health, like feeling in such a descriptive and weird way, but it made so much sense to me. So those were two really big influences for me.
Okay.
Vulnerability wise.
That makes sense. I always wonder how artists actually get those thoughts out there and let their family and friends hear them. It must be a hard barrier, I imagine.
Definitely the family and friends thing is really the only thing I'm worried about. Or like, if you like write something about, you know, an ex or somebody and they still follow you, you kind of know they're going to hear it. Yes. That's always awkward. But strangers or anyone else, I'm pretty chill with.
Yeah, that's a lot easier, I can imagine. Have you had anyone come up to you and say, is that song about me, when they've heard it?
Oh yeah, I have. And it's not fun. It's really not fun, especially when they're right. So yeah, it's been a challenge at times for me, especially in Nashville when we're all musicians and we're all just constantly writing about each other and breaking up and writing about each other. But yeah.
You've got a lot of material though. That's good between you.
Definitely. We keep it going.
You know? Interesting. Okay. So I saw in 2022 is when you released your debut album. So this was Oddities and Prodigies. And then that was followed by A Brief Epic, the EP. So even though that wasn't that long ago, actually, but do you think your songwriting has evolved over that time up until now?
100%. I think even with my debut like album, so much of it was just songs I'd written as like really throughout high school and like very, very young. And you can hear kind of that juvenile, not really outlook, but just the way I was describing things and the way I had not experienced certain things in life yet, I think shows through. And by the time I put A Brief Epic out, I'd changed a lot in my life. Like I'd had a relationship and I had just grown up a lot and obviously just been writing. I write every day. So I think it's a little bit more artistic in the writing form. And now I feel like it's definitely different. I can't say it's more advanced, but it's just different. It's all kind of the same themes I find myself writing about, but just through a different lens, based on where I am in life.
You say you're writing about the same sorts of themes. Do you think songwriters find it hard to get out of a particular mindset, or like you say, the type of thing you're writing about? Is it hard to actually try and switch and think, I'm going to write about something completely different than I never normally would?
It's definitely hard for me at times just because it's what I'm comfortable with and people want to write about what they know and like what they feel. Sometimes it's a fun exercise to like totally detach yourself from the song and just say, I'm just going to write something totally different. For me, that's like any upbeat song whatsoever. I'm just so not typically writing about like positive love songs or anything like that. But it's good to try for sure.
Yes. So I'm guessing you find it a lot easier to write about times of hardship than happier times.
Yes. I'm naturally a much moodier person when it comes to artistry stuff. I love writing about heartbreak and drama and self-sabotage and all the terrible things.
All the terrible things. Well, it works for Adele and a lot of other artists. So, you know, that's not a bad thing, is it? It's not a bad thing. I saw on your Instagram as well. So you said a brief epic. You said you've always had a thing for Greek tragedies. And the more you thought about it, the more you came to realize that you had your own to tell. So, you know, tell me a bit about what inspired this, you know, about your very own Greek tragedies that inspired the EP.
Yeah. So I have always just been quite enthralled with Greek mythology, even like learning about it in school and stuff. I always just found it so beautiful and sad. And I feel like my music is kind of that dichotomy. But I, weirdly enough, like the first relationship I had that much of a brief epic is based on, was centered around a book he gave me called The Song of Achilles. And it was about about Achilles and his love. And for me, I after I read that book, I just kind of started to view that relationship as some sort of Greek tragedy. And the way it ended was very, at least for me, dramatic and tragic in its own right. And I sort of just decided to tell it through that lens, through, you know, something that was very impactful in my life, but also very short-lived, which is why I called it a brief epic.
Okay. And on to, so the most recent singles since this EP. So you started with Girl in China Shop. So tell me a bit about this one, you know, the inspiration, the story behind it.
Yeah. So I wrote Girl in a China Shop after my 22nd birthday, like a few days afterwards. I was just in a season of feeling like, well, actually it's a perpetual state of feeling like I am like my own worst enemy, self-sabotaged. I feel like I was too drunk on my birthday and did things that I was like, I can't be doing that, you know? So I wrote, we all do it. We all do it. But I like a few days after my birthday, I was like, I just feel like a girl in a China shop. And then I was like, oh, that's a cool phrase. So I wanted to write about that. And it's basically just how, yeah, I break things in my life a lot.
Okay. Okay. Especially when celebrating your birthday, but as you should, as long as they're not, you know, priceless heirlooms or something, I'm sure it's fine. Everyone can forgive. What about Tell Her I Said Hi? This definitely sounds like to your an ex's new partner.
Yeah, it is basically like the final, I kind of viewed it as like the final song I was going to write about, closing that chapter of things I wrote about with the EP. And I wrote it to the girl that I knew he ended up with a little bit after me. And I really like was so like just jealous of her, but I didn't even know what, if I ever saw him again, I didn't even know what I'd say. And I think I kind of was just like, well, tell her I said hi is the thing that kept coming to mind. So it's my last hurrah for that songwriting escapade.
Nicely done. So the most recent one, so this is the single Used By You, which tells a tale of unrequited love. So this, another one that sounds pretty honest. So do you always draw from real events then?
I typically draw from real events. Songwriting, again, it's always been my diary and like it's how I cope with life. And I write plenty of songs that aren't as real, but I've been very into releasing the really real stuff lately. Used By You was very hard for me to put out though, because it is like, it paints me in not a good light. Like it's just like, I let this guy use me because I'm so in love with him kind of thing. And no one wants to admit that. At least I didn't. But I felt like it was important to say, because I found out that a lot of people feel that same way too.
Yeah, absolutely. And as a woman, you don't want to admit that anyway, do you, that someone could kind of take advantage of you and you've got your head screwed on. But, you know, it can happen to anyone and you got a good song out of it in the end. So there you go. I saw you said if you had to describe this song in one word, you said brutal. So is that something new for you to be this brutal in a song?
Yeah, I think I've always tried at least to spin it to some like heroic or positive ending or something that made it feel lifted at the end. But this song, there's none of that. It's just very like, dang, that's sad. That's what I think people probably think when they listen to it. It's what I think. And it's just brutal to me.
Okay. And is there a song you've written so far that you're the most proud of writing? That might be that it tackled a particular subject that you went through or a time in your life or just something that was quite, you know, honest of you to put out.
Mm-hmm. I am really proud of a song called This House that was on the EP because it's to me a cool blend of like real life, but also just base level like relationship things. And it's been cool to see people's reactions to that song. And it just means a lot to me. And it's honest, but also relatable, which I really am proud of.
Okay. And on to the side of things, sort of to do with music productions, because I know we were saying off air, you would like to get a bit more involved in learning some stuff about music production. But I know when you're at home, you do, obviously, you put some scratch vocals down. I think that's what you said. And I know you've got a little bit of kit in your, let's call it your home studio. So you've got an AKG P220 mic, K240 MK2 headphones, and a pair of JBL 305P MK2 studio monitors. So that's quite a nice little bundle you've got in there. So I guess let's start with the monitors then. So since however long you've had them, you know, what do you notice about the sound or what it brought to your process?
Yeah, so I brought them up the last weekend. I was messing around with them this weekend and first thing I noticed was like they were very warm toned, which I love in a speaker, and the bass very, very present low end, which I always love. So those were two of the biggest things I noticed about it. And those are two very positive things to me when listening. So I was very, very pleased with that. And I'm very excited to keep diving into those.
Fantastic. And I know they're ready right out of the box. So how easy was the setup with these?
Oh my gosh, it was ridiculous. I just literally like plugged it in, literally crazy. The cord was right there. I didn't have to do anything. It was great. Just put a instrument cable into my Scarlett and then I was there. It was great.
Oh, perfect. So that's what you want, isn't it? Nice and easy. So, So since you've been using them, you know, what have you noticed? Have they been like enabled you to do anything or hear anything that you hadn't before? Did they bring out nuances in a song that you hadn't got to hear before without using them?
Yeah, I've tested them out listening to some of my own music and then just music I'm very familiar with in general, and then played around with it a little bit in Logic. And again, like I thought the low end was very present, which I really, really liked. And I think you're just able to hear everything very clearly and it surrounds the room really well. And it makes for just a really overall good speaker to work on.
Excellent. And if you were going to recommend them to someone or if someone was thinking, should I get these? What would be something you say to convince someone to go ahead and just get them?
I've got a few points. I mean, first of all, this is totally not based on sound, but they were pretty light, which was awesome to pick up because if you're like me and you're always moving around or you decide you want to work on the floor today, you know, like that's great. But I think they're just super easy setup and they make for just a great like listening experience that you can hear all the elements you're trying to hear. And I just would highly recommend them as a speaker.
Okay, great. I'm glad they've worked out so well for you. That's brilliant. So what about the mic, the AKG mic? So this one is perfect for vocals in particular. You know, how have you been using it and what do you like about it?
I love this mic because to me, I feel like it has a great amount of high end and it's very sparkly and bright. And I really like that sound, particularly with my voice. I like to do lots of like delicate kind of withery things with layering and ad-libs and things like that. And I feel like it picks up those very, very nicely. And as a female, sometimes mics just catch my voice weird. I feel like they're kind of hit or miss, but I feel like this one really brought out the best in it. And again, super easy setup, has an awesome case that I can take with me on tour, because I like to take a mic with me on tour when I'm traveling, just in case I want to record any ideas. So super easy setup, and it just sounds great.
Okay, fantastic. And lastly, let's not forget the AKG Professional Over-Ear Semi-Open Headphones. So these deliver a wide dynamic range, increased sensitivity, and high sound levels. So why have these been useful for you as an artist that's creating music and listening back to your own music?
They've been great because I feel like they are sensitive and that I don't have to absolutely blast my headphones, because I feel like I'm always losing my hearing anyway with how loud I play music, but I don't have to do that with these. I can hear everything I need to hear, very dynamic and comfortable to wear, which is also a big bonus. And yeah, I think they have a really great scope of being able to hear all the little details, and they're just great.
Okay, fantastic. I'm glad to know they're working out so well. And this is kind of a random question, not about tech or music, but is there anything about you that you think people would be surprised to know? You know, do you have a secret talent, or have you gone down a Wikipedia wormhole about, you know, something that's interested you? I ask people this now and I get the most strange answers, but I've had like people getting into how they'd survive a shark attack. So, and they suddenly need to look up everything about that. Aliens, paranormal activity, all sorts. So do you have anything like that?
I would say I've had a weird side quest portion of my life where I was like, I'm going to get really good at hula hooping, like to the point where I can win should a competition arise.
Okay.
And I did.
I did.
And I competed in this thing at Disney World when I was like, I don't know, 11. And this was in the thick of my hula hooping craze. I would practice for hours. I remember like I literally be like sore, like on my hips from the hula hoop, because I got weighted ones because I just wanted to get better. And I entered this competition at Disney World. And the like last trick was you had to switch directions on the hula hoop, which was unprecedented for me. But I did it. I won. And I'm very proud of it to this day. And, you know, now if there's a hula hoop around, I know that I'm going to make an impression. Hopefully.
I mean, have you still got it though? Can you still do it?
I don't know. Honestly, I live in an apartment and I don't have necessarily the space for a hula hoop, but now you got me thinking. So I probably should check back in on that, because I spent logged a lot of hours working
on
that.
Practice hours. Yeah. Maybe see how it's going. Now you're not a kid anymore, but maybe you've refined it. Maybe you'll be even better.
Yeah. Maybe it's just like one of those things you never forget. You know, once you got it, the muscle memory, hopefully.
Yeah, I have a vague memory. You're not supposed to move your hips as much as you think you might. That's overdoing it. You don't need to move them that
overdoing
much.
Overdoing it. Yeah, you just got to stand like basically still. It's just the momentum of the hoop.
Yep, that's absolutely it. It's all coming back to me now. Okay. Do you have any other music news you'd like to share? Are you working on any new music? Maybe any more singles or EPs, or maybe even an album on the horizon?
Yeah, so I am... got a few more singles lined up before I'm putting out a project later this year. It's going to be another EP. So I'm super excited about that. Hopefully it'll come out by late summer, early fall. I'm going on my first tour in a few months, opening for Grayscale and Small Pools, which will be super exciting. But yeah, just lots of new music and lots of stuff.
Incredible. And on the tour, so there's a few dates on there. Is there anywhere in particular you're really looking forward to performing? Like, I don't know, where's has the best crowds, or is there somewhere you've never been before?
I'm very excited to go to Oregon. I've never been, and I think it looks beautiful. So I'm very excited. We start the tour there. But I'm also very excited to play the El Rey in Los Angeles, because I have some friends in LA who I know will hopefully come out to that. And it's just a cool theater that I've heard about but never actually been to, so I'm stoked to play there.
Okay, great. Well, lots of exciting stuff to come. Thanks for sharing about the new music, and best of luck with the tour as well. I bet you'll have the most incredible time. It sounds like a lot of fun.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm excited.
Okay, you're very welcome. Well, thanks so much for joining. I'm gonna let you get on with your day now, and thanks so much for sharing with us.
Thanks for having me. I so appreciate it.
You're so welcome. All right, thanks then, Caroline.
Have a good one. Bye.
Bye.
Headliner Radio, supporting the creative community.